gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Guestapalooza this morning.
Yep.
Holy moly. Representative Shelley Pinegree, hopefully moments away. Representative Alan Grayson in the wildly popular feature Face the Grayson coming up in less than half an hour. Representative Maxine Waters next hour from the great state of California. Representative Linda Sanchez from the great state of California. And then in hour number three, country singer Shelley Wright. Who just became the first country star to come out as openly gay. A big, and you told her to bring her guitar, apparently. Do you understand the logistics in New York? I can't even get my keys here when I walk 40 blocks or whatever.
Well, Yo-Yo Ma stuffed his cello in the trunk of a cab.
She's right now probably looking for a trolley of some sort. All right, StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LeBoy, voice deity Jim Ward, associate producer Rebecca Taylor, or me, Stephanie Miller. Mama will be on the Ed Show tonight on MSNBC.
Oh, okay. Good to know.
Oh, I forgot to
mention
that to you.
Thank you.
Oh, so you could, send the thing out to the people.
To the people.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Pardon me. I apologize. That'll be at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, the Ed Show on MSNBC. All right. We are joined by Representative Shelley Pinegree of the great state of Maine.
Pinegree.
Did I say that incorrectly? Good morning, Congresswoman.
Hi, how are you?
I'm sorry for massacring your name already this early.
You can just call me Shelley. That's okay.
Oh, really?
I know. My mother wouldn't like that. I went to Catholic school. Congresswoman, first of all, it is really hard to keep up with this oil spill, technically and otherwise, is it? I mean, it just... It's some sort of gardening show at this point. The saw got stuck, and now they're bringing in the giant garden shears or something. I mean, this is just, it gets worse every day, doesn't it?
It is. It's one bad story after another. And you feel like, at this point, probably nothing that they're trying to do will fix it until the second well comes in in August. And that's just too long to wait. That is just unthinkable in my mind. I represent a coastal district. It is the state of Maine, and we're hoping this never comes as far as us. But I know how coastal communities feel and how our lobster fishermen would feel if they thought they were going out there every day with the potential of oil slicks getting in their way, or this ooze moving along the bottom doing all untold damage. It's just unthinkable, and how we got ourselves into this position is something, unfortunately, all of us know too much about.
Yeah. Well, Congresswoman, that's what obviously a lot of the debate has begun, is it seems so clear to so many of us that truly there is so much criminal aspect to this that are we leaving the criminals in charge of the crime scene at this point?
I couldn't be happier that the president has, moved in with the Justice Department and said we have to start doing a criminal investigation. I personally think the administration has to take a little more charge of the cleanup here. I don't have the faith in BP that some people do, and I just think that they spent too long telling us it wasn't a big deal and, they could take care of it while this was spilling out at far greater rates than anybody admitted to, and things going on the bottom that we can't even see.
Right, that they're telling us aren't happening anyway. That, there's no plumes
apparently
down there. I mean, almost everything they've said has turned out to be untrue thus far, hasn't it?
Yeah, welcome to sort of the corporate spin on this, I'd say. But this is quite serious, and I think the impact, as it moves along the coast and to this economy, this fishing industry, the tourism industry, and, what could eventually come all the way up through the Gulf Stream and, start hitting over to Ireland and foreign countries.
Well, exactly. I mean, it just, as I say, this horror seems to unfold daily, and now we've got hurricane season, and as you say, this could flow unabated through August. I mean, what is your take on drilling? Because I just think that you could not have a clearer case that we just do not have the technology to do this safely, or know what to do if something does go wrong.
Well, I've been an opponent of offshore drilling. You know, I know we have a lot of leases in the Gulf, and I know that, you know, that's been an important source of oil for us, but we've often had proposals to drill up in the Gulf of Maine or the North Atlantic, more where I am, and I've just been opposed to it all along. I look at the potential damage to our fishing industry and think, and to our recreation industry, and think that we just couldn't sustain it. You know, we've invested a lot here on offshore wind, and frankly, there are those people who don't want to look at a wind tower or have other concerns about it. But, you know, when an offshore wind tower falls over, you know, there's a little bit more breeze that day. There's no hidden damage, and
right.
It's renewable. There is no spill that affects everything else. And I just see this as the perfect time to say, when are we going to invest in these resources that we know how to do, that foreign countries are very involved in doing,
right.
Yet we're so tied to the oil people who give us, you know, very little in return in terms of cleanup money, royalties, you know, all the things that we need when we do have a disaster, and clearly are ill-prepared, basically because they've been so under-regulated.
Well, exactly, and I think, you know, that just can't be said too much, that, you know, we had a couple of oil guys in the White House that put these regulation, you know, this lack of regulation in place, and, you know, we've seen the report already for what was going on before President Obama even got in, so I think it couldn't be clearer that, you know, something's got to change in a huge way in terms of regulation.
Well, you know, it's a tough situation. When you're a policymaker, you're working in politics, state legislators face this, and we see it in Congress. You know, you're always faced with all the businesses that come before you and say, you know, what we need is less regulation and all these nitpicky rules. You know, they're not creating jobs and they're not getting you the resources that you need. And, you know, little by little, you cave and you say, okay, sorry we bothered you. You know, you go ahead, you go out there and drill. And you, particularly in this last administration where they had, you know, oilmen in charge of regulating oilmen, you just don't get the kind of oversight that you need. And then you know, those of us who serve in government wonder why everyone gets so mad at government. Well, basically because those are clear cases where we're ineffective at our job because we don't have the guts to stand up to people who make the campaign contributions and want to tell you what to do.
Yep, absolutely. Congresswoman Pingree, let's talk about the Child Nutrition Reauthorization Act that I know you've been working on. Tell us about that.
Well, you know, that comes up for reauthorization every 5 years, and we had Deputy Secretary Kevin Concannon up in our state. We're on a recess, and he came up and did a little roundtable with a lot of people involved in school lunch programs, food to farming programs, a variety of other things. We're very interested in what will happen in the reauthorization for a variety of reasons. One, we know that childhood obesity is on the rise. Our kids aren't eating well. Childhood diabetes is at an alarming rate. Anytime you have the chance to sit down and eat in a school cafeteria, you'll probably find that the food isn't necessarily something you thought your kids should be eating every day if you're thinking about how to develop healthy eating habits and, you know, how to just have a healthier country. Michelle Obama has been great putting a focus on this. She's so focused on it, she put an organic garden in the backyard of the White House. And, you know, we're very interested in seeing there have a real transition in the school lunch program. So,
right. I think, you know, you got to start somewhere because it's just, boy, that's when you feel old, isn't it? When you look around and you just go, oh, kids these days. But it's, you know, it's
right,
true.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to look around and go, wow, this is really a problem. I mean, you know, certainly, like you say, there's always been childhood obesity. But, I mean, again, just looking around, you can see this is, even if before you look at figures, you know, this is really a big problem. And it's going to impact our healthcare system for years and years.
Absolutely. And you know what's amazing is one of the schools we visited built a small greenhouse off the back of the school, and the kids go out there and they raise, you know, kale and Swiss chard and spinach. They learn a little bit about growing a plant. They get all excited about harvesting it. They bring it into the school cafeteria. They cook it up. And, in fact, the kids like to eat it. And many of them go home and say, hey, Mom, you should buy this stuff. It's called Swiss chard. You know, because most families today, they're busy. They're on the run. They get what comes out of a package. And they don't have time to do these things, or they don't know enough about it.
I know. I I have one of my best friends who's, who's concerned about her daughter, you know, and she's also gained weight. And so that's, you know, but she's been talking about, you know, she's, you know, working on her own eating habits so she can encourage her daughter, you know, to eat better and to take off some weight, too, for both of their health. So I think it does. It starts in school and it starts at home.
Well, this is the perfect time to change it in the Reauthorization Act. They're putting money in there so that more schools can buy directly from farmers. You know, a lot of schools, they want to make the transition, but they weren't even built with the equipment to store vegetables, to properly steam them or process them. You know, we designed a food system around commodity, around big agriculture. You know, open up a can, pour it in there, heat it up, and then wonder why the kids throw it away. There's a lot of change in the system and potential for really making sure that we have less kids going hungry, more kids eating healthy foods, and really are engaging more of the local farmers and helping kids understand where food comes from, but also making sure that they eat something healthy. So there's an increase in the budget. It sounds simple, and it sounds actually like, you know, why are you even talking about this? This should be a no-brainer. But the fact is, we have an agriculture system that's based on very different principles, eating lots of processed foods, you know, way too much corn syrup and sweeteners and fillers. And this is a big change, and I applaud the Secretary of Agriculture for really trying hard to make a change.
Well, Congresswoman Pingree, we always appreciate you taking time to you check in with us on that and other topics. We appreciate it. We'll see you again soon.
Okay, nice talking to you.
You too. There she goes, Representative Shelley Pingree of the great state of Maine.
That's right.
You know, I have a friend, Chris, did I tell you this, that's a Cape Cod? And you know who's a big fan of the Stephanie Miller newscast?
Who?
All the oystermen up there.
The number one show for oystermen on
Cape
Cod.
For oystermen in Cape Cod.
All right.
Thank you, oystermen.
We love ourselves some oystermen.
But seriously, she brings up, just in terms of this oil spill, I mean, how about that? Just your whole way of living and way of life and making a living just gone, just poof, you know, because of this oil spill.
Right.
All right. We'll talk about
that. I don't know that I've ever heard a kid say, hey, Mom, let's have some Swiss chard tonight.
Yeah, that's, if we could just encourage the use of that sentence more.
Have you ever had Swiss chard?
You know, Mom, what's missing in our lives is kale.
Yeah.
All right, 17 minutes after the hour. Right back with the latest on the oil spill and what James Cameron has to do with it.
What?
As we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, my God, that's kind of hot.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Oh, just take there I am, 1980. College uni dorm at USC after a garbage can full of hurricane punch. Oh,
ew.
Good times. Down.
Did you yak while pogoing to this song?
22 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Mark in Birmingham, Michigan, on the oil spill. Hi, Mark.
Hi.
Hi.
You know, I can't believe that the congresswoman is still blaming President Bush. If you're rational about this, why are we drilling so far offshore? We can drill closer to shore, and we don't have to have robots.
Yeah, so the oil can hit the shore a lot quicker. I think that's a better idea.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
We're sort of addicted to oil. Do you drive at all? You need oil.
No, I live in New York now, but that's not important.
Are you going to put a windmill on your car? Get real. We have to drill.
So you don't think we should try to decrease our dependence on oil at all? You think this is
it?
Is this affecting you at all when you look at this?
It's a 19th century technology, Mark. We have better technologies.
Does anyone even use ethanol? Give me a break.
We shouldn't do a thing to try to decrease our dependence. We should keep having these drilling disasters.
You won't have these drilling disasters if you drill closer to shore.
I can't believe.
Mark, how about using hydrogen?
Oh, give me a break. Where are you going to get hydrogen?
There's a hydrogen filling station right down the street from where I'm sitting right now.
Yeah, in Michigan, there aren't any hydrogen. I don't see any. hydrogen.
That's because the infrastructure, we haven't invested in the infrastructure. We need to invest in the infrastructure.
Right. We shouldn't try to invest in clean energy at all,
decade,
is what you're saying. We should just
a decade away. You're living in a utopia. Granholm in Michigan has been preaching this windmill fantasy.
Absolutely.
And it's gotten us nowhere.
Mark, what do we do? So we don't try at all. We don't try at all. We just
but it has nothing to do with oil. Oil will be here for a good long time.
And we need to get ourselves off of it.
No, and we need to drill closer to shore.
I see.
Well, you're protecting the environment and ruining the environment.
Mark, the United States only has 2% of the oil reserves available.
In the entire world.
In the entire world.
Really? You think that that's a good idea, to drill more and more? The Arctic, the wildlife refuge, closer to shore?
You drill in Alaska, you drill wherever it is. You don't drill where you can't fix. You don't use technology to drill without having the technology to repair. That you're protecting the environment by forcing the companies to drill offshore, and then when they want to drill closer.
Mark, this is a right-wing talking point I've heard over and over again.
Why don't you let me finish? Why don't you let me finish?
Because this isn't your show.
Yeah, but you can
Mark, this is a right-wing talking point that if we could only drill in closer, then this wouldn't happen.
You have to drill. 10 years from now, we'll all be plugging into, using banana peels or whatever, or hydrogen.
Don't make light of this.
Well, you make light of every single, what you call right-wing talking point. So once in a while, to make light of a left-wing talking point is, a breath of fresh air for you guys.
But you're mocking trying to decrease our dependence or develop invest at all in clean energy.
This is Stephanie Miller talking about mocking. You mock every, that's all your show is
Mark,
about.
Mark, calm down.
Well,
calm down.
You can't blame BP. We have the environmental.
Oh, yes, I can. What do you mean? Yes, I can. I can't blame BP. Jeez. All right.
Yeah.
He was getting a little hysterical, God's sakes.
And mocking, I dare say.
I think someone has a mommy problem.
I think does.
Then let's go to Kim. And I think his mother was a mocker.
Uh-huh.
Kim in St. Paul, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Well, yeah, Julie McToolerson there. Of course we have an oil economy because that's all the government has invested in and subsidized for decades. I mean, we'll never get off our oil addiction if we continue to subsidize freeways and gas infrastructure and everything else. And continue to allow companies to shelve better technologies.
Kim, this is, you're the smartest girl in class this morning because that's what the president said.
The only way the transition to clean energy will ultimately succeed is if the private sector is fully invested in this future. And the only way to do that is by finally putting a price on carbon pollution.
Yep.
Exactly. You know, you have to make an effort, Chris. You've got to invest
exactly.
in clean energy, and you've got to try to get... nobody's saying we're stopping using oil today or tomorrow.
And Fox News was all over that line from his speech yesterday saying, he wants to tax the oil companies more. He wants to tax big business more.
Wow. Let's call a wambulance.
Do you realize how many tax breaks the oil companies have already? God.
Did you say to me you can't blame BP for this?
Yes, he did.
What?
That's insane.
You are an idiot.
You know, Chris, I might venture to say that's the most insanely idiotic thing that I've heard. Why? I think even
what you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I apologize. Todd in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Go Wake Forest.
Hey,
hi, Todd.
Where was this guy in 1900? Was he like, who needs cars and oil?
Right.
We've got this horse and buggy.
That's a proven technology.
Yeah, you and your crazy things with the whatever. You put the gas in and there's a pedal. What?
Yeah, backwards. It's just a backward way of thinking.
Right.
Is what
Period. Yeah. He was probably standing behind Mr. Edsel doing the...
Mr. Edsel?
Mr. Ford. Whoever.
Edsel Ford
was... the first car? I don't
know. Edsel Ford was Henry Ford's son. Okay.
Yeah, it's just something. Mr. Packard. All right. Listen,
Mr.
the
Chrysler.
Important thing is it's time to face the Grayson.
That's right.
Hop on those phones. Time for the wildly popular new feature with Congressman Alan Grayson. Face the Grayson, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There was one thing
Stephanie Miller
was sure of, it was that her brand of tuna was best.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. You know, so many reasons I'm a geek, Chris, but the biggest reason I'm a geek?
Why?
May it be that this is my favorite time of the week.
Is it?
And now it's time for Congressman Alan Grayson and your chance to face the Grayson.
Yay, it's like getting a pony every week. Good morning, Congressman Grayson.
Good morning. This is really your favorite time of the week?
Isn't that sad?
No, it's true for me too, actually.
Aww. Thank
what
you,
a coincidence.
Thank you, Congressman. So the oil spill has turned into some sort of gardening show on acid. The giant... Shears are being brought in because the saw got stuck or something. This is just a disaster of epic proportions. It's hard to understate, isn't it?
It is, but I just want to make it clear that I didn't do it.
Because the right wing, I'm sure someone has said you have.
I swear I didn't do it. The Republicans think Obama did it. It's only a matter of time before they start blaming me, too. I swear I didn't do it.
It's so stated. So you are on record. Yeah. So, Congressman, we just had a right-wing caller, as we often do, who said, you know, this is because, well, essentially you're right, it's Obama's fault. It's because we have to drill out so far. We should be able to, if we could drill on land and right next to the shore and yada, yada. How do you answer that talking point?
I hang up on them. I think you should do the same thing. Yes.
Well, I did, eventually.
Some people are just not worth talking to.
But this is the talking point, right? It's like, oh, well, we wouldn't have to drill so far offshore if they would let us drill closer.
I would simply say that that's stupid and move on.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. It sounded like, you know, he was basically saying, oh, it's crazy to even try and develop other forms of clean energy.
How about just tracking down every single person who said drill, baby, drill, and putting them all in prison? Why don't we do that?
There you go. Well, Starting with
Michael Steele.
Yeah, isn't that the galling thing about all this is that you're going, this is the drill, baby, drill crowd that put these regulations in place that is criticizing this president as if this is his fault?
Michael Steele coined that phrase at the Republican National Convention, and people thought that was so vivid and so moving and so eloquent they actually made him the head of the party.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I don't even know where to start on this because it just seems so clear that there is criminal liability here of the highest order, doesn't there?
Yes, but on BP's part.
Yeah, well, exactly.
Right.
Do you think Transocean and Halliburton are going to, you know, pay some sort of price as well?
I hope so because it's hard to believe that that BP is liable all by itself for such a disaster like this. But in fact, I've tried to learn a little bit more about what happened the day of the explosion, mm-hmm. and it does seem like instructions from BP were a big cause of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
The tube that goes down to the well underneath the ocean was filled with drilling mud. And BP ordered that it be filled with seawater instead. A giant methane bubble came up from the bottom of the ocean, and I'm not going to continue any longer because I know your show is supposed to be interesting and not boring, and this is getting really geeky, so I'm going to stop right here.
It's like car talk or something, all right? Tool time. It's like Tim Allen's tool time. Congressman Grayson, what would you do if you're president? I mean, what do you make so far of the criticism of how the president has handled this? What we should do now? Where are you at with all this?
I would put on my red, white, and blue outfit with the giant S on the chest. I would dive into the ocean, go to the bottom, and make a pretzel out of that pipe so that the oil stopped coming out. That's what I would do if I were president.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, they do make it sound. I mean, in some quarters, like the president should be Aquaman. I mean, I feel like at some point, you know, this is, it really has been a perfect storm, hasn't it? I mean, we clearly, everything BP pretty much has said before this and during it has not been true. And the problem is they are the ones, though, with the expertise and the equipment. And so I'm not sure, you know, what else we could be doing than we're doing. Do you?
The way that you that you actually deal with this problem is you prevent it from happening in the first place.
Right.
This particular platform, this one platform, was cited 17 times in the past 10 years for violations.
Yeah.
17 times. So clearly people knew that there was something wrong going on here, and yet they let it go on and be used and be used for this purpose and lead to this disaster. If we had a tight enough safety regime, if we had a safety regime that didn't, as you pointed out a couple weeks ago, involve dead batteries at the bottom of the ocean, you know, then we probably wouldn't have this problem. But we have people who are operating these platforms and putting us all in this kind of risk and danger, who are the moral equivalent of Homer Simpson.
So, Tony in Louisiana, time to face the Grayson. Good morning, Tony. Oops, hang on. I didn't do the thing right. Here we go. Tony, go ahead.
All right. The president said yesterday about rolling back some of these tax credits and, you know, these special deals that the oil companies.
Yeah. Oops. Sorry. We lost him. Yeah. What about that, Congressman? I mean, it seems to me that that's an awfully good idea.
I didn't hear the idea.
He was talking about the president talking about rolling back the tax breaks for oil companies as a way to start the transition to clean energy.
There's not a lot of money involved there anymore. I've actually looked into this, and there's not a huge amount of money that's spent, or even a significant amount of money that's spent anymore. On direct subsidies of the oil companies through the tax system. There's no large tax expenditures for the oil companies anymore. That was wiped out a long time ago. If we want to be serious about transitioning to clean energy, then we're going to have to do it in some other way. I don't think that that's going to be effective. I'd like to see that happen, and I'd like to see that happen in a way that's actually going to work. I don't think that's going to be sufficient. I think, you know, the president is watching the news like all the rest of us, and he has this itch to do something the way that you often see in Washington. This itch is actually what led to war after war after war. You see something going on, and you have to do something, so therefore you attack. And if I'm going to do something like that, it's going to be something effective, something that's actually going to make a difference, not something that's just basically
right.
Lip service.
Yep.
Not that there's anything wrong with lip service. I want to be clear about that.
This is politics, after all. Bunny in
Winston. Okay.
Bunny in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Time to face the Grayson. Hi, Bunny.
Hi there. My question is, how come when some senator or congressman introduces a bill that is obviously the product of big pharma or big oil or big business or big insurance, doesn't somebody else stand up right after the bill is introduced and say, ladies and gentlemen, this commercial message has been brought to you by such and such who has donated so many millions to this senator such and such's campaign?
That's a good idea. We're actually not allowed to do that, believe it or not. There's actually an explicit rule in the House of Representatives that requires us not to attack other members. How convenient is that?
Wow.
So that's why you don't see that happening, but nothing prevents the media from doing that. And they tend to do it, though, in ways that are, like, petty. You know, they do it in ways that don't actually make the point. What happens is you introduce a bill, it's actually a sincere bill, it's meant to solve a certain problem, and somebody points out that you got a $32.27 contribution from some oil company executive you never heard of.
Yeah.
So, there is definitely a connection there. It's pervasive. It's all over Capitol Hill. We're not allowed to talk about it. We're literally not allowed to talk about it. But the fact is that there are effective ways of making that point, and there are ineffective ways of making that point.
Buddy in Columbus, time to face the Grayson. Good morning, Buddy.
Hey, without babbling like a crackhead on meth, but I've got a couple ideas for the congressman. Are these leases legitimate? I mean, if they were entered into fraudulently with the drugs and the sex and the bribery and all that other stuff, are these leases still legitimate? And the second question for you is, with the massive ecological destruction we're going to be looking at with this thing, what about some sort of rescue program like an ARC where we go and harvest the coral and the mangroves and all that and grow it on and then in the future, you know, bring it back to restore the environment? Because you're going to have a hell of a slug of oil coming through there.
I think that what you just said is attributable to LSD more likely than meth, but that's just my opinion. I'm not claiming to be an expert on that subject.
Right.
You know, But to answer your question, the very simple solution to this problem is that we can level a $4,200 per barrel fine on the oil spill, which is now, you know, millions and millions of gallons of oil, thousands and thousands of barrels of oil. And that could take care of all of that, take care of all the damage that's been done, not only to the coral, but also to fishing, to tourism. Just make them pay. It's that simple. Just make them pay.
Right, but I think he was asking, are the leases legitimate if, you know, there's this report that came out that shows that they were literally in bed with the oil company?
Yeah, I mean, they made representations to get the leases that were clearly false. That there's no question about that at this point. They claimed to there's no conceivable safety difficulty. That's why they didn't have to do an environmental impact report. Think about that. They didn't have to do an environmental impact analysis, something that's caused this kind of environmental devastation, because they claimed there's no way that this could possibly happen.
Yeah. Yeah, no, exactly. Jerry in Los Angeles, time to face the Grayson. Good morning, Jerry.
Yeah, hi. I got a question about the economy for the congressman. When the Democrats took over Congress 4 years ago, the unemployment rate was in the middle fours. Today it's almost triple that. Why should the American people return the Democrats back to Congress again?
Are you serious?
Simple question. The facts are accurate.
Are you serious? The Republicans brought us to the brink of national bankruptcy.
Yeah.
They destroyed 20%. It's my turn now. They destroyed 20% of our national wealth in their last 18 months of office. They pushed the price of gasoline to $4 a gallon, and they embroiled us in two endless wars, and you're nattering about the Democrats? Get a life.
Progress of 4 years. The unemployment rate was the middle four.
You know, you deserve the government that you want to have.
The unemployment rate,
and I think that you should get it.
It's triple that.
I think that what you should do is move to that libertarian place called Somalia, sir.
Yes.
And I'll check in with you a year from now and see how you're doing.
There you go.
He should have his own talk radio show. I should just give him this one.
You handled that caller like a champ.
He squashed him like a bug.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's the thing.
All from you. I owe it all to you.
I mean, how do you?
The thing I ever learned, I owe to Stephanie Miller.
How do you? Oh yeah, 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 Congressman. How do you? But how do you get? That's the problem. How do you go from George Bush, who's losing 700,000 jobs a month, to where we are now, which is clearly much better, though not good, and say, wasn't it better then? Well, no, no, it wasn't.
All these people ultimately want a fascist dictatorship, and I would invite them to move to one. You know, if they think America is just too democratic, then go somewhere else.
Yep.
I'm still waiting for Rush Limbaugh to make his move.
I fear for myself because I love you more every week, and it's
Stephanie.
You know, what with the finding out about the Mrs. Grayson and the five kids, it's just you know. All right, Congressman Alan Grayson, another spectacular edition of Face the Grayson. See you next week, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Stephanie.
All right, there he goes.
Wow.
We are awaiting Rush Limbaugh's move.
Yes, we
are.
Whatever
happened to that? All right, maybe not enough off-market Viagra and wherever it is he was looking into. 46 minutes.
It was Costa Rica. He was thinking about moving to Costa Rica. That's
yes.
Right. Uh-huh.
Vi. Mm-hmm. Two words. On behalf of all of us, the and vi. 46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
You people make me sick.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
I love that. Chris says the live blog is going ape dump for Alan Grayson.
That's right.
He squashed that right-wing caller like a bug. It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 51 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number.
You don't hear Bernie Sanders getting like that on the Tom Hartman Show.
It's a little bit WWF when Alan Grayson's on. Stephanie in Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, sister.
Hey, guys. Awesome segment again. But
thanks.
Man, I remember when my dad would say, are you kidding me? I always knew something was coming. And so now we know Alan Grayson has snap. It was so awesome.
Go on, keep calling, right wingers, but you better bring it when Alan Grayson's in the house.
Yeah, that was darling. Oh, yay. Hooray, hooray.
Yay. All right, honey. Let's go to Corey in Michigan. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Corey.
Well, thank you. I was just inspired to call how he handled that last caller. That was masterful. I would want to move to his district if I didn't hate the heat as much as I do. Kudos on him.
Yeah.
That was fantastic.
Listen, I'm dealing with the humidity here in New York, and that would be the only reason not to move to Alan Grayson's district is the humidity. Otherwise, it's nothing but good.
Yeah. Orlando can be a bit humid this time of year.
Mike, I remember the one appearance I did in Miami. I literally, like, you know, had the whole hair blow out and then got to the appearance. It was like, Link from Mod Squad. Michael, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, I kind of want to help you out with this right-wing tool, Mark. Is that what his name was?
Yes.
What an idiot. Rachel Maddow had a perfect example of, and it was that 79 spill. He's saying to drill closer in, but that 79 spill was in 200 feet of water, and it went on for 9 months because they tried the same stuff. But I will say he's right about one thing. See, had we listened to Jimmy Carter, we'd have 25% of our energy from renewable sources right now.
But right. Well, and Michael, the other thing is they would always be drilling there because that's where the oil is. They can't drill in closer.
They do have taps that are closer in. They have been allowed to go closer in.
Right.
But he's sort of right about one thing in that part of the fault is not from the Bush administration. It's from the Reagan administration because he's the one that overturned Carter's rule. So it's his god, Reagan, that screwed up.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Thank you, honey. Let's go to Alan in Albany. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Alan.
Hi. Thanks for taking the call. I love Grace, and he's awesome. What I wanted to say is kind of radical. You know, I'm a left-winger myself, but don't we collectively look in the mirror and say, you know, we too are to blame. We've got a society that demands the raping of our natural resources. I'm driving right now, and, you know, when's that going to change? So, you know, yeah, it's BP's fault. There's a lot of greedy people out there who drill and drill, baby, drill and all that. But, you know, as a society, we are, too, also to blame. And one thing, too, is Grayson mentioned that methane bubble that was coming up. There was a University of Texas Huntsville study, and it's available. I think Newsweek had published it. But they had done some meteorological studies. They thought that Baba Booey had farted on Howard Stern's lap at the same time when that bubble rose up. I don't know if that's...
Was that a Baba Booey call? I can't really tell.
I can't tell either.
All right. Oh, you got me. Okay. All right. Oh, I forgot to tell you what James Cameron has to do with the oil spill.
Yes.
The superficial reporting, despite Rush Limbaugh announcing the oil spill is perfectly natural as getting a boner with Mexican Viagra, the U.S. government has apparently brought in Avatar director James Cameron because he directed a movie about a giant boat once. Which that's not.
Computer says no.
You know why? He's an ocean technology buff, Chris, and he's been an expert in underwater filming and manned submersible vehicles.
That's right.
Since his pioneering work on The Abyss in the 1980s, remember?
Yeah.
The Ed Harris movie.
Yeah. He has technology that the government doesn't, so why not call him in?
Hello? Mr. Avatar, that'll do it now.
Bill O'Reilly was making fun of that yesterday. Hey, why don't you send Leonardo DiCaprio down there to plug up the... They don't see the seriousness of the situation over there on Fox News.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's go to David in Quebec. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, David.
Yeah, hi, Stephanie. My question is really how long does Obama have a free pass to not do things properly before you stop blaming Bush for the situation? I mean, does he have basically...
President Obama hasn't blamed Bush for the situation.
That's right.
There is a report that has come out that has talked about all of this mismanagement, the MMS. It was all before Obama got into office. Granted, we need to fix it now, but I don't believe he's ever brought up George Bush's name in this.
I didn't say him. I said I'm listening to your radio show. I listen to also to Fox Across America.
Sure.
It's a year and a half into his presidency, and like Gracie this morning, you're still blaming Bush for the state of affairs. Does Obama basically have a free 4-year pass to screw up as a president and never take responsibility?
How is he screwing up? How is the oil spill his fault?
Obama's fixing it.
Although, let's be clear, the oil spill is not his fault, but the inaction of the government, despite what they say they're doing, is his fault.
But so, there has not been inaction. That's the problem. And you have to, you do have to go back and go, these regulations at MMS, they went into place, as our last caller actually said, under Reagan, and you're denying that Bush and Cheney were oil guys? That the last thing they wanted to do was regulate and you know, the oil industry?
I forget. It was one of Bush's generals who said, you know, I don't care how we got into the situation. We just have to deal with it now. So skip the MMS.
So we shouldn't look at any of the regulations that went into place under Bush and Cheney. That had nothing to do with any of this.
It's irrelevant. There's a problem and there's a leak today. So blame
right.
Bush.
And the president is addressing it.
And he was on it from day one. If you'd stopped listening to Fox Across America, you would understand that.
I'm listening to James Carville, who I guess doesn't listen to Fox Across America either. So
James Carville has been sleeping with Mary Madeline for entirely too long.
It's rubbing off
on
him.
Just saying, for God's sakes, he's gotten a little, you know, a little unglued is all I'm saying.
Well, he's also a Hillary supporter.
All right.
So there is that.
There's that. All right. So much to get to. Representative Maxine Waters, Democrat of the great state of California, whom we love, is coming up in just a few moments as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, stephaniemiller.com. Check it out. You can email us all there, executive producer Chris LaVoie, voice Dee Dee, Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Mama on the Ed Show tonight on MSNBC. Don't forget, 6 p.m.
Right.
Eastern.
And
heading to Asheville, North Carolina. We'll see you Saturday night. Bill Press and I will see you Saturday night in Asheville.
And you're
going to
get
North Carolina.
A couples massage, right?
Bill Press and I are, yes.
Bill Press?
Yes.
He has a wife. Oops.
Oh, apparently she's not coming. All right. Lots to get to. Representative Linda Sanchez coming up later this hour, and then country singer Shelley Wright live in studio with in hour number three.
We have a bunch of hot chicks on the show today.
Excluding Alan Grayson. But I love to be some Alan Grayson, though. But the way he shut down that one idiot. God, it was brilliant.
But, you know, talking point, Jim, over and over again, we could just drill in closer. They drill where the oil is.
Well, yeah, Rush Limbaugh started that whole meme. But the environmentalists forced them to drill offshore, my friend.
Yeah.
We
need to get Greenpeace to pay for this because it's their fault. Yeah.
And the Jews caused the Holocaust. Right. Okay.
Okay.
Whatever.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Come
all
again.
Right. Thank
nice
you. All right. All right. I know who can clear this up for us.
Who?
She should be named Congresswoman Kickass. She is Representative Maxine Waters of the great state of California. Good morning, Congresswoman.
Good morning, Stephanie. How are you?
Well, I am not you, so I'm not. When you get mad, it's the most entertaining thing, and you know, you get to the heart of the matter, and people are angry about this oil spill.
Should be. I mean, it's more than a disaster. This is a major catastrophe. No end in sight. What are we at, the 46th day now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And haven't tried, made maybe 7 attempts to cap it off, haven't been able to do it, don't know how to do it. Nobody knows.
Yeah, it's like that old, Tim Allen show. It's like Tool Taunt time gone awry on crack or something. It's just, giant garden shears and a saw is stuck. And, meanwhile, you're doing something about it, at least. You've joined several of your colleagues right on the West Coast Ocean Protection Act of 2010. The bill would impose a permanent moratorium on offshore oil and gas drilling along the West Coast.
Yes, and I think we should all be talking about moratoriums at this time, whether they're temporary or permanent or what have you. You know, we've been trying to talk about the oil companies and the fact that they have too much influence. They didn't have proper regulation. We've been doing it for a long time, but they were so powerful. And, of course, they had Dick Cheney in the back room of the basement somewhere plotting about how they they can make more money. And now we have faced this catastrophe, and nobody knows what to do. And so we've got to just stop the drilling and not continue to imperil this country and this nation and this world with this unabated drilling.
Because clearly, everything they have said to Congress at this point has proved to be untrue, right? We have the technology. We know how to do this. Even if something goes wrong, we know how to stop it. I mean, right?
You know, not only have they said that, but we're at the moment of realization that the federal government not only does not have the technology or the knowledge to step in and do anything about it, we've never developed the ability to handle a disaster of this kind. They allowed these people, BP, to drill, to go deeper and deeper and deeper without knowing or having any idea what they would do in the event of this kind of spill. It is outrageous. People are angry. They should be angry. Not only are we to blame for allowing the unabated drilling by BP and other oil companies, but the federal government has to take responsibility for just a plain lack of regulation and oversight.
Right.
Yeah. You are also co-sponsor of the No New Drilling Act of 2010, the bill introduced by Representative Frank Pallone to prohibit all new offshore drilling in the U.S. I mean, don't you think we owe that, the American people, until they can explain to us how they intend to stop this in the future?
Absolutely. We owe it. That's why I say we've got to have a moratorium. I mean, that only makes good sense. As a matter of fact, I'm doing some investigating of the fact that some new licenses have been issued since this spill took place.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and even before it occurred, there were signs that BP was not paying attention, obviously, to safety. You talk about this whistleblower at BP's Atlantis rig, another BP rig in the Gulf, notified MMS at the Department of the Interior that important engineering and operational documents were incomplete. So the Atlantis is still operating in the Gulf, and it's the largest oil and gas platform in the world. So an accident there could be even worse than the Deepwater Horizon, correct?
That's absolutely true, but it appears from my initial research that BP has been cited time and time again. They've been in violation. They've been charged. They're fighting. They're trying to repeal a conviction right now for some violation. We're getting all this information together because I think more elected officials are going to have to just step forward and talk about where we're going with all of this. I'm afraid that it's not going to be abated, that BP is going to lose value. They're going to run out of money, and we're going to be stuck with it anyway. We're going to be stuck. Why haven't we called in the international community? I mean, we're not the only ones who are drilling for oil and perhaps who have had some kind of disaster. Perhaps they know more about it in some of the OPEC countries.
Well, I thought we do have scientists from around the world. Did you mean what did you mean?
I mean OPEC countries. I don't care where it's from. Saudi Arabia, Iran, wherever. We need to find out exactly where the expertise may be that we don't have.
Well, and BP, I think you were mentioning, we can only guess how many other safety problems BP has on its equipment, not just in the Gulf, but all over the world, right?
Oh, absolutely. As a matter of fact, they're involved with some refineries here in California, down in Carson, California, Long Beach, California. They're in Stockton, California, and they've been cited for all kind of emissions violations. So these are bad boys.
Yeah. Yes, in congressional speak. It would seem to me the president yesterday, I mean, it would be a no-brainer that he's talking about we need to end our, play this one for the congresswoman, ending our dependence on fossil fuels.
The next generation will not be held hostage to energy sources from the last century.
I mean, that's right. Everybody's talking about alternative sources of energy. And it's a good time, I suppose, to bring it up one more time. We know that. That's not what we're faced with right now. We should have an ongoing effort to talk about how we end the dependence on fossil fuels and come up with alternative energy sources. And we're doing that. But right now, we are confronted with a catastrophe, and we don't understand what all of this is going to cause. We know that they're killing the fish, they're killing the birds, that they're destroying the marshes, that it's all the way up to Florida now. And that's what we have to be focused on. What are we going to do about this? It's not simply a matter of cleanup. It's a matter of stopping this oil from flooding our waters and killing up everything.
Right. Congresswoman Waters, it's a, you know, announced the president is going to the Gulf again tomorrow. I think we're going to be getting an update from the Coast Guard commandant in just a bit. What else does the president need to do now? What is he doing? Do you feel that he's doing everything that he can? Is there something else that you would like to see the administration doing?
I think that not only is he doing everything that he knows how to do, I think BP is too. BP would like to stop this. I mean, this is going to put them out of business forever. They'd like to stop it too. We've got to confront the fact that we don't know how. They don't know how. They're talking about now they have to build more rigs and maybe August, and somehow we're supposed to be comforted with the fact that we've got to wait until August, but what happens between now and August to our natural resources? What happens to the water? What happens to the marshes? And I, what I don't see enough of is an attempt to find even more technology and experts around the world. You had mentioned that you thought they had brought in all of the international resources they could bring in. I don't have that sense that that has been done. I hope that we are not not doing it because somehow there are certain countries we don't want to deal with. But I'm hopeful that we will, you know, comb the earth for more resources and more technology to stop this awful spill.
Yep, absolutely. Congresswoman, you're always doing such good work, you know, to help people in this economy and in the housing crisis. Talk to us about that a little bit.
Well, we're working on a number of things. You know, and we probably can't get to it today to talk about what we're doing with Comcast in attempt to bring about the biggest media merger in the world with NBC and Comcast and what that's going to mean for being in control of the Internet and cable and all of that. Yeah, we'll talk about that at some time, but I know you want
to. That sounds like that could help me. I think we'll talk about that now.
We have to be concerned about this.
Yes.
They had closed down the comment period, and we have forced them to open back up the comment period for another 45 days as of a week or so ago, and I'm also forcing them, the FCC, to have public hearings, because Comcast is going to control Internet, it's going to control broadcast, it's going to control cable, it's going to own the studios.
Yep.
These people are going to be big, and we have to be worried about Internet net neutrality.
Absolutely.
This is big, and we cannot allow them to have this kind of control and decide who can get on, how long it will take you to get up on the Internet.
And what content you can see,
right,
too.
That's right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
MSNBC,
everything.
MSNBC will be running nothing but doc blocks.
That's right. We're gonna. I've got John Conyers of the Judiciary Committee, the chair, to hold a hearing. They'll be out in California next Monday. Also, the FCC is going to announce this hearing. I think it's going to be about the 15th. This is so important. This is so important. We cannot allow the media to be controlled by one big conglomerate who will decide what we see, what we hear. This is important.
Yep.
So
absolutely. Not the least of which, if it results in a television show for Stephanie Miller, then I think that that's the most important thing you can do for America. Congresswoman Maxine Waters, always fighting the good fight for us. Thank you so much for taking time for us,
You're
as
so
always.
Welcome. We'll talk about housing a little bit later.
Absolutely.
We will, next time. All right.
Thank you,
Congresswoman. There she goes, Maxine Waters, on her way to get me a television show. Good. That's more important than anything else in the world right now. Go, go, go.
No, net neutrality, that is a huge, huge, huge issue.
Whatever.
Well, I mean, do you want one cable company?
It is very important. She's right.
Yeah, do you want one cable company determining what you see on both the Internet and on television?
Yeah. No, you don't need to hear that. You don't need to know that stuff. No, 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 no. Just look over here.
Da-da-da.
Yeah, that's some scary
of
stuff
there. That's what you need.
Yeah, exactly. All right. 18 minutes after the hour, back with the latest on the we're getting an update right now on the oil spill. We will be back with the latest. Thad is on.
Thad.
So we will tell you what. Thad! We'll be on the. We'll be back.
Have they sent Edward Scissorhands down there to clip the pipe yet?
No, the thing, the saw's not working. They're using the clippers now, the giant hedge clippers, whatever. Have they tried a leaf blower? This really is.
Weed whacker.
Tool time gone awry.
Garden weasel.
Exactly. 20 minutes after the hour, right back with Thad. on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Do you like it?
It's brilliant.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. And I like to say hello. Say hello. Because I'm a fly girl, gonna get some spank and drive off in a death OJ. Everybody go hotel, hotel, holiday in. What?
It is
say
the
what?
Stephanie. Wait. It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm sure Holiday Inn enjoyed that endorsement.
25 minutes after the hour.
How did you spell that once, Chris?
What? No, I was typing it on something, and I accidentally spelled it Raper's Delight.
Right.
I thought that was
dear.
Awful, yet
no.
Kind of funny. No?
No.
Okay.
Peter says no.
No. All right. The president yesterday called on Congress to roll back $1 billion in tax breaks for oil and gas and pass a clean energy bill he says would help the nation end its dependence on fossil fuels, which our right-wing caller earlier, Chris, is ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Okay, the president yesterday.
Tax breaks for the wealthy and fewer rules for corporations. The last administration called this recycled idea the ownership society. But what it essentially means is that everyone is on their own.
Yep. Yeah, what did our caller say, Chris? Oh, yeah, you liberals, you're going to run your cars on banana peels or something?
Yeah, among other things.
That, too. But we already have hydrogen stations, and we already have cars that are powered on hydrogen.
And most of the buses in L.A. are running on
whatever, George Jetson.
No, they're natural gas. They're natural gas, which is still relatively clean compared to oil.
Yeah. Yes, the president, yes.
The time has come once and for all for this nation to fully embrace a clean energy future. It means rolling back billions of dollars of tax breaks to oil companies so we can prioritize investments in clean energy research and development.
That charming Tony Hayward, Jim, he takes back his thoughtless, it was a hurtful and thoughtless comment when he said he wanted his life back. Hmm. He apologizes.
I apologize. Not for the spill. Cost of doing business, but I apologize for sensitive people who misinterpreted my remark, who felt somehow that I was slagging them off. But no!
He said, I made a hurtful and thoughtless comment on Sunday when I said I wanted my life back. When I read that recently, I was appalled. I was appalled at myself.
What an appalling man. Well, that is such a dreadful thing.
Well, then why did he say it if it was so appalling?
Continue to rape the planet for billions and billions of dollars. But I apologize for that remark.
Sometimes I think CEOs just are missing the empathy gene.
Yeah. Yeah, he made, $4.5 million last year or something.
Right.
Yeah. He says, I'm appalled at myself. I seem like a thoughtless boob.
But I'm a rich thoughtless boob, so slag off.
Might I borrow the Great Poupon? Why doesn't he just shut up now? Seriously. Why do we allow them to say anything?
He's not helping.
Yeah. Okay. Representative Tom Cole, Republican of Oklahoma, a big drill baby drill guy.
Sure.
He appeared on a radio show to discuss the oil disaster, and like Rick Perry, he called the oil spill an act of God.
I don't think God had anything
to
do with it.
It's an act of BP.
Yeah.
It was an act of greed.
He said more could have been done to deal with the spill, but that's a nice way of blaming Obama. But the spill itself was more or less unpredictable because acts of God are acts of God.
Oh, come on.
What act of God caused the explosion on...
It was an act of BP.
Once again,
they overruled people who were saying, we got to shut this down now.
Since 2007, by the way, there have been 39 oil well blowouts worldwide, and more oil is spilled in Nigeria's terminals, pipes, pumping stations, and oil platforms every year than has been lost in the BP
clearly
spill.
God hates Nigeria. That's the only logical.
That was my point.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, Thad Allen said that BP has succeeded in cutting the pipe with the giant garden shears, and now
the garden shears work.
Yeah, so they're going to attempt to cap it.
So now Billy Mays is going to go down there with some OxyClean.
But since it's
Was it a slap chop or was it just a normal garden?
Since it was with the garden shears, it's not as clean a cut as they could do with the saw, and so they're going to have to use a looser cap. So that might not work.
On the downside, we're spilling 10 times as much oil.
Right.
But we did manage to cut the pipe, which is sort of...
I swear to God, I feel like I'm making this up. It's just giant 46,000-ton garden shears.
They sent Edward Scissorhands down there.
Ah. All right. GTK. Mm-hmm. 29, that's the update from Thad. 29 minutes after the hour, back with Representative Linda Sanchez. She's in a fight with some right-wing DJs. Fight, fight, fight. We're going to talk about that next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Look what the homosexuals have done to me.
Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Wow, I heard about... So, Mama, of course, is here in New York. I will be moving back to L.A. About 3 weeks. And I not a moment too soon, Chris.
Why?
Because I have to protect my homegirl, Representative Linda Sanchez, from some right-wing bullies. Good morning, Congresswoman.
Good morning, Stephanie.
I do my show from the same building as John and Ken out there in Los Angeles.
Lord.
So tell us, this immigration fight, I mean, it really, I mean, obviously it's an emotional issue, this Arizona law. But so I've heard that they're basically telling people to call your office and to call you fat. And I mean, I have no idea. First of all, you're not. You're hot. And second of all, what is going on with this?
Well, thank you. You can always depend on them to elevate the debate to, simple name calling. Yeah.
I will really be back in 3 weeks. I will go slap them in the head on your behalf. Don't you worry.
You know, it's funny because I've never met them in person, and I looked on their website, to see the nasty things they've written about me, and I looked at their photos, and they're no prizes either. But I'm just not going to go there because it's not helpful in discussing, the craziness that's going on in Arizona and what we really need to do to try to fix the problem. And
right.
They are experts at whipping everybody up into a frenzy, and they've asked folks to call my office. Not the first time they've done that.
Why you? It's not like you're the only person that's spoken out against this Arizona immigration law.
I don't know. They just I don't know. They just they like to pick on me, and bring it on. I'm not afraid of them. I think you put it correctly. I think they're a bunch of bullies. They're trying to cow me, and it's not working. Not working.
Right.
Yet.
Yeah, you're a lot tougher than that.
Yeah,
well,
yeah,
I mean,
I grew up
the
family of seven with four brothers who tortured me, basically.
Right.
So yeah, bring it on.
I had a brother like that too. Did your brother do the lipstick or the what do you call it, the toothpaste spit thing that would let it go into your face and then suck it back up? You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
that's
yeah,
gross.
No, they did, but they did pink bellies, which was also a lot of fun. And noogies, lots of noogies.
Well, Congressman, by the way, is that the child that I bought the baby gift for in the background?
That is. You can hear him. He's in the other room. I was hoping he'd be quieter, but he's talkative this morning.
That's all right. Yeah. Now, Congresswoman, this is, what you and I have talked about before. I mean, it does not pass the laugh test that this Arizona law means anything other than let's pull brown people over. I mean, it just to try and say, oh, this has nothing to do with racial profiling. I mean, I think you pointed out that you and your sister, who are both members of Congress, could be pulled over. And if you don't have the right papers,
correct. And it's really funny because I give people this example. Imagine that I'm driving in Arizona with a busted taillight and John McCain's driving in Arizona with a busted taillight. Who do you think the cops pull over and ask for documentation?
Right.
And yet we're both citizens, both born in the, Summer Kim was born actually in Panama. But,
that's right.
He actually doesn't have the right papers. Yeah.
Well, I'm not disputing that he's a citizen, but the fact of the matter is, I was born in this country. I'm a citizen. It really gives a tremendous amount of subjective discretion in the hands of police officers to pull over who they quote unquote think looks like they're not in the country legally, and that is a problem. And it's funny because a lot of the quote unquote Tea Partiers are so our civil rights and civil liberties are under attack, yet they don't have a problem that let's basically support this law that singles out people who look a certain way, because it's brown people, it's not them. You know, if you were to pull over these Tea Partiers and demand, you know, documentation that they're here in the country legally, they'd probably have a heart attack. And that goes to the heart of this, you know, this bill.
Yeah.
You know, they managed to cast the bill in a, sort of an us versus them mentality. But what people don't realize is when you give that much power to police, it could impact you. It could happen to you. I mean, you could be out for a morning jog and not have your ID on you. You know, something happens. You're in the wrong place, the wrong house. Something's going on. Police show up to investigate something. You know, they ask you, hey, where are your documents? You don't have them. Do you think they just, you know, hey, go on your merry way? They're going to take you down to the police station.
Right.
It could be hours before they straighten it out.
Well, you know, I have a plan, and that is that we send Judge Sonia Sotomayor in like a beat-up old truck back and forth across Arizona, because then we get some good lawsuits going.
Well, that's the other thing. It really opens up the police to lawsuits for unjustified stops. And, you know, the police departments don't need that added aggravation. In fact, a group of police chiefs visited with the president and asked him, you know, to please, you know, try to do something because, you know, they're not comfortable with the law. It puts their, you know, their police officers at risk. And, you know, I sort of say this as like a standard thing, but I defy anybody to write me a description of what an American citizen or legal resident looks like.
Right.
Because until the day that somebody can write me a perfect description that's going to allow me, you know, completely to know, based on that description, who is in the country legally and who isn't, it leaves so much subjective discretion with police officers.
You know what's funny? It's like I've been debating this with right-wingers, and it's hilarious. One of them happened to be Curtis Sliwa, and it was hilarious. Someone else said to him, you know, Curtis, no offense, but you look Mexican. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's the problem when you don't stand up for everybody's rights. You don't know who's going to be the person targeted next.
Right, and when they poll you, you know, do you agree with this law? You're not thinking that it could happen to you. You're thinking, oh, it's going to happen to those people over there.
Right, and they keep citing the polls, Congresswoman, and the problem is what I said, if you really look deeply at the polls, people want comprehensive immigration reform. You can't you know, this is just picking on one segment. It's not getting employers. It's not securing the border. It is just picking on immigrants, correct?
It is, and, you know, poll after poll over decades has shown that a majority of Americans, regardless of their political affiliation, support immigration reform. And, you know, the polling question about the Arizona law, you know, polls, you know, depend on how you phrase questions, what your responses are going to be. And so, you know, the fact that people are running around saying, oh, a majority of Americans support this law, I don't believe it. Because once it would be implemented in their lives or that of their friends or family would be impacted, they'd understand why it's bad.
Right. So the president is meeting with Arizona Governor Jan Brewer today. The White House, this administration has dedicated unprecedented resources over the past 16 months to fulfill the federal government's responsibility to secure the southwest border. The president looks forward to discussing those efforts with Governor Brewer. I mean, that's the thing is, you know, they don't even look at that, is that, you know, actually arrest deportations are up under Barack Obama. But, you know, as you say, it's not just one component.
No, and you know, this sort of mantra of we've got to secure our borders, you know, unless you put our entire military across, you know, every inch of that border, which would be tremendously expensive, number one, the difficulty is, Stephanie, and this is the case of why we need comprehensive immigration reform. Law enforcement and Border Patrol, when they patrol the border, they're trying to find the worst of the worst. They're trying to find the criminal element, you know, the drug cartels, you know, people who are doing illegal things that will do us harm. And the sad thing is that a lot of folks that are coming through the border, they're coming to work and to contribute to this society, to be reunited with their families, but they're all mixed up together. And I think it would make the job of law enforcement and our Border Patrol easier if we had a sane, rational immigration policy that would weed out the people who intend to come and contribute to society versus the criminal element.
Right.
Because then when we put resources at the border, we'd be pretty much solely focusing on the criminal element. But
that gets lost in the discussion too. People don't understand that, families who've been separated for, a decade, they get desperate. They may even be in line for legal immigration, but because the system's overloaded, there's a backlog, it's expensive, it takes years and years for this to happen, people get desperate and they want to see their families. They come when they shouldn't. And I'm not condoning that, but I'm just saying the reality is if you could have a rational, straightforward, simplified system to make that happen, you could make the jobs of our Border Patrol and law enforcement officers so much easier. Yeah.
Did you, by the way, speaking of the name-calling in this debate, so did you see the latest Governor Brewer actually, first of all, I haven't heard anyone call her a Nazi, but people were saying asking for your papers, obviously, is something that was done in the, but she said that it's especially hurtful, that comparison, because her father died fighting the Nazis, and of course, as it turns out, he died like 10 years after World War II ended in a munitions depot in Hawthorne.
Wow.
California, it's like, oh.
Yeah, but they really, try to co-opt that we're more American than everybody else. And I think that's probably an example. I think probably misguided attempt to sort of burnish her credentials as, this is a sane law. I mean, the law really is sort of takes us back to Jim Crow system in the South.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Congresswoman, I will literally, when I get back in the building, I'm not even sure. Chris, what can we do? Can we, we'll saran wrap their toilet seats, John and Ken?
Sure.
Kill
these guys with kindness. Send them some donuts.
I don't think they would get it.
Also, kill them with the truth.
They conveniently overlook the truth from time to time. But hey, that doesn't stop them or slow them down.
They look like a couple of goobers. I don't think they'd get it.
I just think they like to stir the pot and, they don't let the facts get in the way.
Exactly.
Yeah. And by the way,
it's unfortunate because instead of helping this discussion about, what can we do seriously, rationally to fix the problem, what is reasonable, what is, going to work, they're just inflaming everybody and it doesn't help. It doesn't help the discussion.
And let me just say, you were delightful as usual, despite the fact you sounded like you were calling from a Chuck E. Cheese pizza.
I'm at home with the little one. No,
Your baby is clearly going to be as outspoken as you are.
I'm trying to. My goal for him is to make him, when he grows up, do anything other than politics.
Exactly. Representative Linda Sanchez of the great state of California. See you back there soon, my home slice.
All right. Well, thanks for watching my back, Stephanie.
All right. I got you. I always got it. All right. Thank you, Congresswoman Lynn.
Starting tomorrow, I'm going on a diet.
Oh,
you don't need to.
You just had a baby, and screw them. All right. Representative Linda Sanchez, thank you so much.
All right. Thanks.
All right. There she goes.
Like Jen Brewer's trying to steal your act.
Well, my dad, you did stuff. The Nazis were kind of there. Hawthorne has probably a couple Nazis.
He died of lung disease in 1955.
Yeah.
He died fighting the Nazis?
Well, I've been to Hawthorne. There might have been a couple Nazis there, but I doubt that. Anyway.
He worked on the craft services truck on Hogan's Heroes.
Yeah.
Okay, 46 minutes after the hour. Right Wing World is next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's a beautiful miracle of nature.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
What does she mean by that exactly?
There you go. Oh,
it is the
kind of creepy the way
I can
you do
that with my nose.
Yeah.
51 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1. Do the phone number toll free from anywhere. Somebody emailed me. It is Cheney's Katrina. That's what this is. This is also, this is true. You notice this is the one thing he hasn't opened his crooked pie hole about. Haven't heard a peep out of him.
Have you heard that some right wingers are saying that this is Obama's Iran hostage crisis?
Yes.
Yeah.
I have heard that.
Wow.
Which the Reagan administration, or the coming Reagan administration, manipulated Made sure that they made a deal with the Iranians to make sure that he was that the hostages were released. What was it, during Reagan's inaugural address or something like that? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So, no,
I thought that was
it's nothing like that.
Jim, you're kidding,
oh,
really?
Of course.
All right, let's dive into
the
right wing.
There are no conspiracies ever. It's always a coincidence.
Let's dive into the right wing world and see what's doing. Hey, you know, have we ever mentioned, Jim, that before you play a Bill Kristol bite, you should point out that he's always been wrong about everything ever. I'm just saying it's fine for it to have him on TV. That should just be on the Chiron, is all I'm saying.
It is illegal. I know everyone else says this is politics as usual, and don't be naive. It is illegal to offer as a quid pro quo a federal job for someone to get out of a race. Mm-hmm. It is not illegal to say, hey, you're just in this job, and then people can say yes or no. And, of course, implicit might be the notion that if you were going to take this job, you're not going to run for an office, right? I mean, especially if it's a job that's a real job that you have to quit the House for and you can't run for the Senate while you're in. But it was a quid pro quo. That's even implicit in the White House counsel statement.
This just in, Bill Kristol, for the posthumous impeachment of Ronald Reagan for offering Senator Hayakawa a job to get out of the race that his daughter was in. I'm just saying, Jim, there's some stimulus jobs there, you know, knocking over the Reagan Library, you know. You got some construction jobs there.
Tearing down that giant hangar that has Air Force One over there in Simi Valley?
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting they never bring up those little hypocrisies like that, those little wrinkles on the Fox News when a Bill Kristol says something like that. All
or,
right.
Or when you do, they say, well, that doesn't make it right.
Yeah. Okay. Riley on
the break. Now, the president presently finds himself in a very difficult place. He went against public opinion on health care. He's at odds with most Americans on illegal immigration and the Arizona law.
No, he isn't.
His stance on Israel is against the majority, and he's getting slicked big time by the oil spill.
Well, I will say that the Obama administration is a bit too cozy with big oil, or they were. They won't be anymore.
Yeah, they're not.
They, you know, they were members of BP in the...
Yeah. But by the way, Jim, here's one more. Yeah.
Right-wing hypocrites!
You know, the bat... crazy Michelle Bachmann, you know how she's pretty much the teabag queen? She's just cannot, we can't get small enough government. It needs to be like the who's in Whoville.
Unless.
It needs to be that small.
Yeah.
But now.
Now, they love big government.
Yes. Now she took to the floor to slam President Obama for lacking competence because he didn't use the government to seize ships to deal with the oil spill. Where were the boats that could have been commandeered to be sent into this region?
Where are the buses? Where are the boats?
Isn't it? That's what I was just thinking, Jim. It was like what they were saying during what that Ray Nagin didn't do, remember?
Yeah.
Why didn't he, Ray Nagin send the...
The buses were underwater.
Yeah.
That was part of the problem.
Okay.
They conveniently forget that part.
Rush Limbaugh on the...
criminal probe? A criminal investigation into British Petroleum and this oil well leak, but there's not a criminal probe yet into the SESDAQ affair.
Oh, come on.
And in the case of criminality, I'm not a lawyer. My dad was a lawyer, so that qualifies me to ask law questions and even answer them.
Huh?
Who benefits from the crime, that whatever crime has been committed?
Yeah, well, my dad was an expert on Middle High German, so that... allows me to.
My dad was a fire chief. Doesn't mean I should put out fires.
Let me get this straight. Rush Limbaugh also on record for the impeachment of Reagan. Huh. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this SESDAQ. Yeah, oh, I see. Because the oil spill is not really a big deal.
It doesn't affect anybody in any way.
The SESDAQ thing is really.
That's life altering. Mountain Mohill.
Time to dive right into the shallow think tank that is Brian Kilmeade.
The Department of Justice is probing, and for a myriad of reasons, it looks like into BP and what they've done and what they could have violated.
Yeah.
Among the things that they're looking into, did they violate the Clean Water Act, the Oil Pollution Act of 1990, the Migratory Bird Treaty Act, and Endangered Species Act? All those things combined to drop BP stock 15% and just tank the market.
That
smart?
It went down $20 billion in market capitalization. Maybe not, because if they're facing all these lawsuits, suddenly where's that money going to come from?
How are they going to pay for it?
BP, put upon BP. Why would they leave them alone?
You idiots.
Are you kidding me? Oh, man.
All right, they are required to go scuba diving through oil now. Not even scuba diving, snorkeling.
By the way, Chuck Schumer and Ron Wyden sent a letter to the CEO of BP on Wednesday demanding the company pay no dividends to shareholders until the cost of the cleanup has been assessed.
Yeah.
The letter comes a day after Holder announced there could be a criminal charges development that helped spur the drop in their share price. The senator cited multiple reports that CEO Tony Hayward is planning to defend dividend payouts before they clean up the frickin' Gulf. Unbelievable.
Yes, it'll be rather inconvenient. So, really, where are your priorities?
Steve Ducey on the Fox and Friends.
Then New York is broke, and the governor blames the unions. So are unions bankrupting the world instead of helping the workers?
What?
What? It's what? That, you know what? How? They can find any way to bash unions. That is like, what? Things that aren't even connected, huh?
Right. The Soviet Union was a union. It was right there in the name. So there's proof that they're bad and stuff.
He's the only person on Fox that makes Brian Kilmeade look smart. All right, Hannity on the...
I don't hate oil companies. Our economy is fueled by oil. I know a lot of liberals and Democrats demonize oil, but I think we all want gas in our cars and we want our houses warm.
Okay, go swimming in the
Gulf. That's just what that right-wing tool was saying this morning.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
Huh. That sounds like we've heard that before somewhere.
That might have been a talking point that came out yesterday.
Yeah, we're trying to take your car away from
you. All right, Hannity, why don't you eat some oil-infested shrimp? See how you feel about oil
companies.
It looks
like he runs his car with his feet anyway.
Well, yeah.
Flintstone-looking
giant feet that he has.
All right, Squeezy McField pants, hose yourself down. Shelley Wright, super hot country singer who has just been the first country singer to come out live next in studio with me right here on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LeBoyer, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Don't forget Mama on the Ed Show tonight on MSNBC.
That's right.
And then check the calendar section. Bill Press and I will be in Asheville, North Carolina, Saturday night for a VIP listener meet and greetings thing.
Meet and greeting thing?
Yes.
Type deal. Type deal.
Yeah.
Member
of
FDIC.
Get naked, throw an ice kind of thing.
What?
All right.
Wait, go back.
What?
Yeah, you can't drop that bomb and run. No,
huh?
No.
All right, Shelley Wright is late, and it's all your fault, Chris, because you made her bring her guitar or her oboe or something. Jim, it was hilarious. I saw in my producer notes today, we asked to bring her guitar. I'm like, do you understand the logistics in New York?
No.
I don't even remember to bring my keys when I have to walk 40 blocks.
A bassoon would be difficult.
You read that wrong. Her people said that she was going to be bringing her guitar.
I'm just picturing her trying to find a trolley to in which to put her bass and her guitar and her, I don't know, what else?
Trumpet.
Well, Yo-Yo Ma traveled through the streets of Manhattan with his cello.
Well, and what happened there? That didn't end well, did it?
He lost it.
Yeah.
He got it back, though.
All right.
How do you lose a cello?
You leave it in the trunk of a cab.
I knew it was in my
pocket. So she's on her way. She's in a cab somewhere, which can be, listen. Trust me,
it is much quicker through Albany. Trust me.
But she is not bringing her guitar. We have just found out.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she's bringing a CD instead. But I don't know that you have a CD player in there.
Oh, as if I would know how to operate it anyway. Are you kidding me? I can't even figure out which microphone is which in here. But all right, we will figure something out. Because she has a fabulous...
Meanwhile, I can watch her videos on YouTube.
Yeah, he's been over here sitting in a corner making
noises. I think
his
screensaver is some Shelley Wright.
She has a great voice, in addition to being beautiful. Yes.
Yes. Jim, you do realize that she just announced that she doesn't want you. That's the thing. It just makes men hotter.
Of course.
I don't understand. Yeah, the guy that owns the show is going to show up. Every guy I know.
Hi, would you like some breakfast meat?
That's what you did for us.
Yes, he did.
Pathetic. I have to get the fire hoses out around here.
In Denver,
all
I think you did.
Denver, that's right.
Yes.
Well, everywhere.
He got us breakfast meat.
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. All right. So we are reading Shelley Wright. Oh, she does have a great new CD out called Lifted Off the Ground and a great new book called Like Me. She was just on Oprah, and it's just a really amazing story. She's the first country singer to come out as openly gay, and it's, you know, very scary, and we need to embrace her in a big progressive group hug.
That's right. Sounds good to me. Oh! I meant that, of course,
Jim,
completely.
Platonically. You would be the one that would do the reach around when we are just trying to be supportive.
I'm sure she has a nice butt.
She does.
Okay, get all of this out of your system before she gets here. All right. Meanwhile, Mama has a magical new Facebook page, by the way.
That's right.
Which is you can get to from the StephanieMiller.com. Did you see who else, Jim, has one? W.
Oh.
I'm learning how to work the internet. Look at me. It's a series of tubes, I understand.
You can, there's all sorts of delights on there. You can pre-order his upcoming book, Decision Points.
Boy.
Or you can visit the George W. Bush Presidential Center, the George W. Bush Institute, or the Bush-Cheney Alumni Association.
He has an institution?
Institution, I could see. Psychiatric institution.
We wish the Hague were the institution here we're dealing with.
George Bush and Institute don't belong in the same sentence.
No.
It doesn't...
Somehow. All right. By the way, you know what? We'll see. The other reason Shelley Wright might be late, not only because you made her bring her oboe, but also she may have used Google for directions. Did you see a pedestrian is suing Google?
Yes.
I don't trust any of those. I don't trust any of them. I don't trust my GPS. I don't trust the directions. They're always wrong.
No. Usually it's the input that you put into it that makes it wrong.
Well,
it's usually the user.
Sometimes
that,
it's wrong.
Sometimes they list streets that don't exist anymore.
Well, that's when you need to update your software.
Or haven't been built yet.
Yeah. Or in the case of the time we were in Denver, remember Jim and the guy that owns the show put it on Avoid Highways, and
yes.
It took us like 7 hours.
To go from Boulder to downtown Denver.
Who knew there was a function of avoiding highways on GPS.
We could have gone on the freeway, but no, we took surface streets from Boulder to Denver.
Recalculating route. A woman who says she relied on Google for walking directions in Utah got her hit on a major roadway has filed a lawsuit against Google, claiming that it supplied unsafe directions. I don't know how that's going to work, but. All right, and this is just, I don't know, one story that has shattered my entire... I always had fond memories of Arby's when I was... we always... I don't know why. We would go to Arby's every now and again, my family and I.
I always loved the horsey sauce.
Mm-hmm. Me too!
Yes.
Yes. Well, police have charged an Iowa City man with indecent exposure after witnesses allegedly saw him masturbating in front of an Arby's restaurant. And now...
Okay, making his own horsey sauce.
Oh,
what?
I just hope he wasn't doing it near the meat slicer. That would have That's not wise.
Now I'll never think of Arby's the same again. All right, let's do a little celebrity stack. Here's the kind of thing I will never, because, you know, as you know, I moved to New York partially not have to get up anymore at, you know.
At stupid o'clock.
And go to bed at
insane o'clock.
Has it improved my social life?
Absolutely not.
No, I am still in a really shut in. That drinks box wine and French kisses my dogs every night. However, this is the kind of thing I will never get invited to. Prince Harry to play in New York City charity polo match.
Oh.
He will participate in the third annual Vive Clicquot Polo Classic.
Vive Clicquot.
On Governor's Island.
Vive, not Vive. Vive.
He'll be playing an Argentinian polo player who's also a model for Ralph Lauren.
Mm.
People like Madonna and Kate Hudson and LL Cool J will be there.
Sure.
See, that's where you meet 22-year-old Brazilian boy toys. That's where things like that. The Vive Clicquot polo thing.
Vive Clicquot.
Yeah, but once he realizes you're not a billionaire, it's like, okay.
And you're not going to get invited if you don't know how to pronounce the name of the champagne.
She can drink it.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've had some Vive in your lifetime.
Yeah.
All right.
After four glasses, you can pronounce it.
The superficial reporting, if Lindsay Lohan had a penis, she'd be waving it at the legal system right now. It might seem
That's
like bad timing.
Image.
that Lindsay Lohan was ordered last week to submit to random drug testing just days before she had her wisdom teeth pulled, but we learned that Lindsay got a pass from probation. So basically, Lindsay just scored a free pass to pop Vicodin like M&M's.
Oh, God.
Well, if Lindsay had a penis, we would know by now, because there have been lots of pictures of her.
Of her crotch, yes.
Okay. D-listed also writing, Courtney Love looks good. Even in my wildest trip, I never thought I'd write that headline ever. She does. Did you see this?
I saw her a couple months ago, actually, at the premiere. She, I guess, doing an interview or something.
And the picture of her, is that what? The superficial, or is it D-listed?
This is a D-listed. She looks good. Yeah. She does. She
absolutely
looks good. She cleans up nice.
Shockingly.
Well, she has doll parts.
D-listed writing, for once, Courtney doesn't look like she was plucked out of a fishing net, dipped in used glitter lube, and then dried off with the farts from a hippo's ass. All right. D-listed also reporting, Jane Lynch got married over to her girlfriend, psychologist Lara Embry, in Massachusetts over the weekend. I love how D-listed ends it. Congrats to Sue and Lara. We're just hoping they move to Pennsylvania, where they will breed purebred poodles and start a magazine called American Bitch. From Best in Show.
Best in Show. Yeah.
Hilarious. Hilarious. Good for them. All right. Lots to get to. By the way, here's a complete quinky-dink, Jim. Did you see this? Halliburton's campaign donations have just spiked for some weird reason.
Halliburton's donations to politicians.
Yeah,
yes.
That's weird. They've made 14 contributions during the month of May. 13 to Republicans, just one
almost
to a Democrat.
Like they want to influence legislation in some way.
Hmm. It's weird. What could they be concerned about, I wonder?
Well, it has very minor impacts, all these political contributions.
Yeah.
No, very modest.
Yeah, I'm sure. All right. The president, by the way, starting the 2010 campaign early, he was seizing on, delivered his first major midterm hit on the Republicans during a quick trip to Western Pennsylvania.
Some of you may have noticed that we have been building this foundation without much help from our friends in the other party. From our efforts to rescue the economy, to health insurance reform, to financial reform, most have sat on the sidelines and shouted from the bleachers. They said no to tax cuts for small businesses, no to tax credits for college tuition, no to investments in clean energy. They said no to protecting patients from insurance companies and consumers from big banks.
Yay.
Hey, Sanchez and Montebello, hola, que tal, adios mio, my friend.
Mi amigo. Y los Rookies del Norte, muy buenos nachos.
Yes.
Hey, grande.
Sí, you know what? You're just playing Obama right now, and that was the subject of what I wanted to talk to you guys about. No matter how you look at it, I mean, look, I have my beefs with Obama, but I understand how the culture is here. So I want to realistically say something here, that Obama needs to go to one of these madams with the crystal balls and try to channel the spirit of Rodney Dangerfield, because in politics right now, Obama is never going to get any respect. I would love to see him up on the podium, nervously shaking his tie, going, I'm telling you guys, I got no respect here, you know?
Huh.
Realistically, because the way the situation is right now, there's nothing that's going to be done about the spill or the gusher because of the fact that, we're waiting until August for this thing to be plugged up, possibly plugged up. So, you know, of course they're going to blame him. But
By the way, did you see Grampy McSame? Did you see this, Jim, that he blamed Obama for the Gaza flotilla raid? What?
He
declared the deadly flotilla raid was another step in a chain of unfortunate events, beginning with President Obama's insistence that there be a settlement freeze.
Oh, come on.
That had
nothing at all
Is it about time for us to, like, stop writing blank checks to Israel?
First of all, you know what? They've got to stop building settlements. I mean, it is part of the problem over there. You know.
Although I will say that if you are on a humanitarian mission, you probably shouldn't beat people up with sticks. You know, cue from the civil rights movement, and
they were boarded.
Well, I know, but it just gave them a pass to do it. Assuming that actually happened, I believe it actually did. But there's some.
Yeah, well, that's the, you know, exactly. We don't have to find out exactly what did happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
all right. 18 minutes after the hour, if Shelley Wright got her oboe out of the cab, she'll hopefully be here next. As we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Sweet Lady Gaga, that is good.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
All right, it is the Stephanie Miller Show.
I get the impression that single white female isn't looking for a man like me. I just get the feeling.
I'm sure you'll say howdy do to her anyway, Jim. Well, howdy do. She, Shelley Wright, the update, she texted me. She's four blocks away, three, I don't know.
Is she walking those blocks? Because then she'll be a sweaty mess like you.
She'll be all sweaty up in this who.
That's right.
Because you made her bring in all her instruments or whatever, I don't know. All right.
Okay. Are we about to get it just a little hot and sweaty in this who?
Baby. All right. Yes.
Yes, we are.
1-800-HOT-SWEATY-CHICKS is the number. Shelley will be here momentarily.
My song, Married White Fat Guy. I wouldn't. You hit the charts.
Yeah, I don't know that would scan so well.
Well, ask her if she would like to hear your hit song, Married White Fat Guy.
No.
Perhaps she'll sing a couple bars for her. All right, let's do a... you make me laugh. Susie in Ohio, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, Stephanie. I just wanted to remind everybody about Haiti. That's still a mess, and I'm hoping we're going to handle this oil spill better than we did Haiti. I have an iPad, which is in the kitchen. I don't know how to turn it off. I'm outside. I picked up some information on there about Haiti, and they're still living in tents, and garbage all over, and they're sick. And so not to add more sadness to the show, but, you know, there is Haiti still.
Sure.
So, I hope we do better this time. I don't know. We just can't seem to get it right.
It's all disaster capitalism.
I just can't stand it. I was so happy. My grandson said the other day, he says, you know, I think all the badness in the world is due to greed. He's 16.
Yep.
Yay.
Yeah. So only they can save us now. Exactly.
Love of money is the root of all evil.
Yeah, exactly. Lynette in, not that I wouldn't like some more, I'm just saying. Lynette in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, you guys. Oh, my gosh, George Bush has a Facebook page. I'll check that out right away.
Oh, my God, let's everybody go friend him.
Oh, my God.
Except to put up a picture of my ass on there. Sat on the Xerox machine.
I remember, I did a spit take at him saying, the first time I ever heard him say, yeah, Americans are addicted to oil. You know, and I was like, what the huh?
What the huh?
Because I wish that more right-wing people would do some history checking, like the history of electric vehicles, for example. I mean, our first car was, I think that was either steam or electric, and then we switched to this oil technology because it was cheaper at the time, and then the people that were in the oil business, like the Bush family, could figure out, you know, a way that this would be more profitable to them. So here we are, all addicted to oil. We're being basically blamed by the people that got us hooked in first place.
Right, and we had this right-wing caller earlier, Lynette, that sounded like we should just face it and not even try clean energy. It's like, Robert Palmer. You're going to have to face it. We're addicted to oil. You know, it's like, what? That's because we need to invest.
They get these right-wingers to then go, yeah, I'm addicted to this, and it's my fault, and I don't know why. It's just, what? Do some history. I mean, so here we are. You know, Jimmy Carter had the solar panels on the White House.
Reagan tore
them off. So where's the intelligence? We could do many shows on what's missing in right-wing craziness. They don't even associate history or look up anything or be curious about it.
Yeah, exactly. Wait, who tore the solar panels off, Jim? What was that?
That was the guy you voted for.
Yeah, Reagan voted.
Oh, Reagan tore the solar panels off
the White House. Off the White House that Jimmy Carter had installed.
It was symbolic that he wanted to... Didn't want to go down that route of modernizing energy. No, that's because that's the problem with money in politics. The oil companies buy a lot of people off.
So JFK's hookers in the White House pool, that was fine. But solar panels!
One thing JFK did also was try to stop the oil depletion allowance. And look what happened to him. So,
Yep.
Obama.
By the way, here's one of the new winners, a Mississippi Republican congressional candidate. Let's see, Alan Nunley. He secured the Republican nomination. He was the establishment favorite. Mm-hmm. He says Democratic policies are a bigger threat to the U.S. than Pearl Harbor or 9/11. That's one of their new guys.
Wow.
That's who they got coming up the up the pike there. All right. We like to keep our eyes on all the crazies. All right. So Shelley Wright should be here, I believe, when we come back. Jim is just tuning up his guitar to play her his hit single, Married White Fat Guy.
No. We will Although Jim's not fat.
No.
He is not. Oh, I've got to get back to L.A. so I can work on his self-esteem. When I'm there and he's feeling me up, he's much in a much better mood. All right, 29 minutes after the hour, right back with country star Shelley Wright next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
All my friends are gay. All my friends are gay.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
34. One, anyway.
Go ahead and hit Squeezy's music so we can get it out of the way. It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 34 minutes after the hour.
Oh,
country star Shelley Wright, who became the first. All right, Jim, just.
Hey, you played the music.
Hold on a second. Who became the first country star to come out as openly gay. She has a fabulous new book called Like Me and a fabulous new CD called Lifted Off the Ground. Jim Ward, please say hello to Shelley Wright. Go ahead.
Hello, Shelley Wright.
Hi, Jim. Is this Jim who sings that song single?
Married White Fat Guy. That's
I love that song. That was one of the first 8-tracks I ever bought.
I know. I should just shut up and drive. But no.
Oh, look at you sucking up already.
Oh, you're so good, Jim.
So, Shelley, first of all, let's get that out of the way right away. What is it about men that this seems to only have made them hotter? The announcement that you do not want them seems to. What is that one?
She's not looking for a man like me, apparently. That's
no.
Not.
You know, if they want to objectify me in this manner, that's fine. They have the same shot with me that they had when they thought I was straight.
Right. it's just they cannot be dissuaded. It's sort of like I'm sure every lesbian, you know, that's their dream come true, too, is to have, some married white fat guy in the corner watching them make love to their girlfriend.
It's all we think about.
Exactly.
It's all I think about.
Jim.
In fact, I have to leave the room. I must take a break.
All right.
Pardon me.
Jim, now you see, you fulfilled your fantasy as well. Where do we even start? This was like a month ago.
We start last weekend. You and me on the dance floor.
Oh, okay. So I met Shelley at Melissa Etheridge's birthday party. Hal Sparks and I went.
Yeah.
And did you get the prerequisite apology? Because I don't dance. I act slutty to music. And so.
Yeah, it came registered mail, your apology.
And we all were just sort of acting slutty to music.
Yeah, I believe I was the only sober one. Were you? I think you were sober.
I was. I don't.
Were
I don't,
you?
Oh,
I don't.
God,
I don't.
She was
I don't.
Not.
Okay. All right, Chris. I was just going to give you an out there.
But I'm so thrilled to meet you. You are so brave and so terrific. And this is only a month ago. I mean, the fact that because it's a very conservative, the country music crowd.
Yes.
Is a conservative crowd. And this was just I love people, don't you, that go, oh, she's trying to sell books and records. And, like, this is a good career move. Like, you just did this for attention.
Yeah, that's been the weirdest thing to have, especially, and it's coming from within my community of my industry, which is a funny indictment, really cynical. Oh, she's just trying to sell books and records. Wow. Because historically that's moved a lot of product.
Yeah, because that's always a good move in the country world.
Yeah. But it seems it's like... It's weird to me. I don't know.
I mean, I literally, you know, choked up. I watched your whole Oprah interview, and you know, it was so moving. I mean, I think for anybody, that the kind of courage that took, that it almost seemed like you felt like you didn't have any choice but to do that.
Well, I didn't. It became life or death for me, as it does for a lot of people who come out. Coming out, I don't think that I'm unique in coming out because in the difficulty of my coming out because I'm a celebrity. It's hard for a math teacher to come out.
Right.
It's hard for anyone to come out. It doesn't matter who you are. But mine did become a matter of life or death. I had very, as I write in my book, Like Me, I had very masterfully painted myself into a corner. From the outside looking in, look at Shelley Wright. She's got success and
right.
Relative wealth, relative health, seemingly. Look at that, hit records, and look at that happy life she's living. But I had created these very real pieces of my life, a successful country music career, that I could never get to intersect with the other real part of me, which is that I'm a lesbian.
What now? I know you said on Oprah, and I don't know if that was 2 or 3 weeks ago, but you said that you've only heard from 2 other country stars. What has the reaction been so far?
At that time, that was true, and now I've actually heard from others. In fact, a couple of others who saw that Oprah clip and said, and emailed and said, "Oh my God, Shelley, I'm so sorry. I saw the Oprah thing and realized, holy cow, I haven't reached out to you, and I'm so sorry that I hadn't." I have heard from everyone I needed to hear from. I've heard from everyone who mattered to me.
Yeah.
And,
okay.
But as far as the industry goes, the industry has been amazing, and the fans have been amazing.
Wow.
But that doesn't mean we haven't gotten hate mail.
I've gotten hate mail. Listen, sister, you should take a peek in my inbox every now and again and see what. No, I mean it's. You know, it is amazing that it seems to, like, your dad on Oprah, that was such a touching moment because mm-hmm. he's so supportive, and it almost seems like you felt like you lost time being close to him. You were so busy judging, thinking he would judge you that you, in a way, you judged him. And,
well, and that happens.
Yeah, and he, I mean, how adorable is your dad? Oh, my God.
Well, he's pretty adorable, Stephanie, but you have to keep in mind that not everyone gets such a loving response from their father. My dad is a guy that told gay jokes at the dinner table.
Right.
And he'll tell you. He'll tell you that he used to think much differently about gay issues until it was his kid sitting there saying, "Dad, I'm gay." And he said, you know, as he said on Oprah, the minute that Gay became his daughter, everything changed.
Right.
But not everyone has that experience with a loved one. And that's why people are afraid to come out, because we're so afraid to lose the love of those that we love.
Right.
And,
well,
you know.
I mean, you obviously talk about it in the book. I mean, that's the, you know, obviously dramatic moment, but that you literally had a gun in your mouth, that you literally were in so much pain mm-hmm. Over being gay because you had been raised in a religious background, right?
Yes, and I had come to terms with my being gay. I wasn't so tortured with being gay at that point in early 2006 when I decided, okay, I'm going to have to kill myself. And I'm not being melodramatic in the book when I detail it. I really just didn't see a way out. My thinking that it was better to kill myself was because I couldn't figure out a way to get the pieces of my life to fit in my career. And I had lost the love of my life. I'd had a long-term relationship with my partner, Julia.
Who you didn't tell anybody about. Even your best friends didn't know.
Mm-mm.
Wow.
No, we were not just in the closet. We were behind the sheetrock in the closet. We were really in the closet.
Deeper than this oil spill. You were deep.
Yeah.
You
were the
next
we couldn't be found. And I had lost her. I couldn't find a plan to get to survive it. And I couldn't figure it out.
Yeah. I have a friend that has a very similar, you know, background to you. Was a homecoming queen, came out when she was in high school, lost all her friends. Now she works, I don't know if you know Trevor Project, but on the suicide hotlines for gay kids.
Wow.
And I think I told you the story that we have a guy called Right Wing Jerry who calls our show all the time. We have these political fights. And but he called in last week, and there's not much that's sincere about talk radio. It's mostly all just a load of bull. But this guy was like in tears because his sister had just killed herself. Because she was gay, and he was literally in tears because he knew that he and his family hadn't been supportive. And so, you know, we end up hooking him up with the Trevor Foundation, Trevor Project, and, you know, a lot of other people donated in his sister's name. But it is amazing that, like you said, with your father, they say that's the number one predicator of opening hearts and minds is when you know somebody.
That's
when it's your sister or your daughter or your brother or your, right?
Yeah, if we can attach a face and a name to that tiny word gay, it changes the scariness of that word to people. When it's a they and a them, and then it becomes an us, it changes everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember last weekend at that crazy, wild, insane debauchery of that party that we were involved in.
I told these guys it looks exactly like Fox News would think a Hollywood party would look like.
Exactly.
That's exactly what
and
it looked
some.
Like.
And then some.
Yes.
It was nuts.
Yes. Just a tequila swilling like cluster. I was just
there were no clothes.
Hollywood
no one,
liberal elite.
We were
just,
naked.
Woo, woo, woo.
We were all naked. It was insane. And the body oils. Oh my God. But I remember.
You know what, Chris? This is the kind of party that Bill O'Reilly would have said humanizes homosexuals, and we cannot have that.
Humanizes homosexuals.
He was there, which was so weird. That was a weird thing he was doing on the dance floor.
Oh,
yes.
Dear.
And Snake. And I don't think she heard that, but Bill O'Reilly literally said
humanizes homosexuals.
Exactly.
Oh my God, that was so creepy. He said that.
Yeah.
Oh, he was complaining, I believe, at the time, right, Chris, about Hollywood movies that humanize homosexuals.
Yeah.
Because we can't have that.
Yeah, he was saying that Brokeback Mountain.
If people start thinking they're humans.
Yeah, Brokeback Mountain was humanizing homosexuals.
What's next?
Ew.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Oh, that's right. Brokeback Mountain humanized homosexuals.
That's right.
And that's what was bad.
Oh, I'm grossed out. I can't even think. I'm sorry. You take it from here.
We threw her off now. So let's get to the important part. Who's going to play you in the movie? Is there some...
I think Shelley would do
that,
a good job.
Sissy Spacek has to play every country star? What's the deal?
She does. Or her daughter, Skylar.
Yeah, that's true.
Could be.
And she's a great singer, her daughter, Skylar.
Yeah.
Is.
You know, it's interesting, because like you were saying, like, you're going out on tour soon. I mean, because I know on Oprah, you said, Oprah was saying, you know, you're afraid you're going to lose your career, and you said, I still don't know if I will. I mean, you've been a musician all your life. This is what you want to do. This is who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Do you still have that fear, or do you feel like there has been no backlash yet? Do you feel like everything... You know, everything's going as planned, the record, the tour?
Oh, there's been a backlash. We still don't know who remains of my fan base. You know, I've done so much with the troops, and I have a, you know, we don't know who's still there for me.
But you told a great story on Oprah that you ran into some, because you've done so much with the troops, and that you ran into some of them.
Yeah, we ran into a bunch of guys... in uniform that said, you know, Shelley's been there for us, we're going to be there for her. Now, we'll see if that translates into an actual invitation to come entertain for the troops again, as I've done since the mid-90s. Because here's the thing, with the troops, there's a divide in the ideology of the actual boots on the ground and the guys at the top who put things into action.
Mm-hmm.
Because I believe that the mindset of the don't ask, don't tell policy is not actually the mindset of the boots on the ground guys and gals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a divide in ideology.
Right.
So
just
because the guys and gals in uniform say, hey, we love Shelley and she's been there for us, we'll see if that actually makes it to the tide.
Right. Well, that's why, I mean, you're here in an interesting time. We're glad, because, you know, we've been obviously debating on the show, don't tell. Yeah, just a little bit. And but, I mean, it's interesting. I'm debating literally like a right-winger last night, and he's like, well, you can't have them in the same bunks, and there's going to be sexual tension. And a guy turns to me and goes, I think he's talking about himself.
Yes, exactly.
You know, it's like, don't people project?
It's like, trust me, no gay guy wants to touch you. You know?
Isn't it funny that it just means that you just want to do it all the time? If you're gay, you just got to do it with everybody.
Everybody you meet of the same sex, exactly.
You just have no judgment. just got to do it.
You literally have no, like, no taste at all.
Yeah, just, I saw a woman on the street selling pretzels a second ago, and I had the cab driver stop. I had to have her.
Uh-huh. All right, good. Well, thank you for reviewing that on the show.
Yeah, and the pretzels.
Shelley Wright, Shelley Wright just did a pretzel woman on the street here in New York. All right.
She was a girl.
Take that, Oprah, if you think you're getting all the bombshells. All right. Some breaking news here on the Stephanie Miller Show. That smoked mutton nut gal better be careful of. It has the cart downstairs.
What, the chestnut girl?
Yeah. All right. We're going to talk Oprah, Elena Kagan, Don't Ask, Don't Tell, Ted Haggard, and much more when we return with country star Shelley Wright right here on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Wow, how does this show stay so fresh?
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Got a bright red sticker on the back of my car. Says United States Marines. And yesterday a lady in a minivan held up her middle finger at me. Does she think she knows what I stand for? Or the things that I believe. Just by looking at a sticker for the U.S. Marines on the bumper of my SUV.
Shelley Wright, there she is. It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 52 minutes after the hour. She had to, during the commercial break, she went down and had sex with the woman that sells kielbasa on the street cart because, as she revealed, gay people want to have sex with everyone of the same sex.
Right, that's right.
Cancel we just made out. We did not. Okay. Just made out.
All right, so noted.
I'm a good Midwestern girl. Please.
God. Now... You were late because, I know, Chris, apparently my producers asked you to bring your guitar and, I don't know, maybe your oboe, and you did reveal to me that you were a trumpet-playing band geek in high school, which that had to make you more of an outcast than being gay, didn't it? I mean,
why do you want to treat me like a zero? Why do you do this to me? Yeah, I see on your note sheet you just put a little star by that. You're just so proud of yourself. Belittle her.
I played the trumpet in my pep band. I'm like, no.
Yes, I did.
Oh, so that had to prepare you for the ostracization that would later.
Yes.
All right.
And I went on the Jimmy Kimmel show to admit that.
So now, Chris, you can confirm to Shelley this is unprecedented. Not only do I never read the books of the people that we have on the show, because...
Right.
What?
Yeah, who has time for that?
I'm like Larry King, so you have a book. Tell us about that.
I know. Isn't that hard to watch?
But here's what happened. No, but I because I wanted to support you.
Thank you.
Because here's also the thing that has happened is you're going to have a whole new fans. We have to confess, right? Because here in the liberal world, we're not really country music.
Well, I worked in country music in radio for 6 years. Yeah.
Really?
But you notice in some segments, no offense, that it kind of went like, who's that? Oh, my God, she's hot. And then, wow, she can sing. You know? So let's go buy. So everybody go buy her CD and her book right now. Embrace her in a magical progressive hug. Do it! Here's what I did, by the way. I had a liberal frenzy at the bookstore at JFK because I thought, I'll read it on the plane on the way back.
Right.
And they didn't have it. And I went ape dump on that woman. I said, she was on Oprah. What? It's homophobia, isn't it? Why don't you have that book?
You did?
Yeah.
Love that.
Oh, they'll remember me at the bookstore at JFK. Now, let me tell you what.
I love your sheet.
I said, it's the subject matter, isn't it?
Haters.
Yeah, you haters.
Chris, where were
and
you?
And then I knocked over the Sean Hannity book and left in a huff.
I was at Camel Country 108 in Phoenix.
Oh, my gosh. Who was the PD at the time? Jeff Pearson?
No, this was... Oh, God.
Excuse me. Rest of us don't speak country.
Okay.
All right.
Alan Sledge was the PD at the time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was a while ago.
We were talking about Dixie Chicks. I did a panel with Natalie Maines, and...
Right.
You know, we were saying that I'm sure that, you know, that obviously it's a very different thing. In fact, it was because they didn't like Bush. You see what I'm saying? That's funny. Okay. All right, Jim.
What?
You made me go there.
No, I didn't.
All right, so.
Yeah, you went there by yourself, Missy.
But do you have fear? Does stuff like that give you fear? Because there's, you know, and that was.
Of course. Of course, yes. To see how a fan base can turn on an artist, yes, of course. And to see how an industry who has just completely held up an artist and look how great they are and then burn their records outside of a radio station, of course that frightened me.
Yeah.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. You know, but it seems thus far, like you said, and I hope that continues, that, you know, that the country crowd proves to us they're not homophobes and that you get embraced by a whole nother segment, like you say, that maybe has just found you now. It was interesting. We were saying you were on Oprah, and I thought it was interesting when I was watching the interview because I thought she's been a victim of those whispers for years. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think look at Elena Kagan, the Supreme Court nominee. Her friends had to come on and go, no, she's not gay. You know, and
right.
But even they said they felt bad having to do that because it implies it's a bad thing.
Right. Yeah, I think that any female, unmarried, successful, that gets said about us. And to run to a defense of, no, I'm not, does imply that you're saying, no, I'm not a thief. No, I'm not a murderer. I mean, why do we have to defend that? But then we do, and it's all very ugly, isn't it?
Well, you said something I thought powerful on Oprah. You were saying, you know, you can call me ugly, which no one does. But anyway, that was cute. You could say you don't like my songs, but I'm not going to let you say lesbian as if it's the bad thing. I'm going to take my power back.
Yeah.
And that ought to be a huge turning point for you.
Well, you know, people whisper about me, and they have for a long time, and I haven't been able to stand up and say, well, let me take control of that. Let me not just let you whisper about me. Let me shout this for you. I am gay. And I've heard just salacious rumors about myself that I had a bus driver catch me in the back of the bus sleeping with a radio, a woman in radio, and that I did this and I did that. And gosh, boy, I have had an exciting life, apparently. That wasn't true. That never happened. And for years, I wanted to just say, I am gay, but I'm not a tramp. I'm not without judgment. I'm not immoral. Right. I had a partner that whole time. And I wanted to take my power back and declare who I am and help define what I am.
You know, Ted Haggard is in the news. You know, again, he's opening a new church, but he still is sticking by that the church won't advocate a policy that it will encourage people to strive toward heterosexual monogamy. And that, to me, is the saddest part, is the, mm-hmm. you know, is the hypocrisy. Oh, no, we're out of time.
No, no.
All right, she's going to come back. ShellyWright.com is the website.
Shelly.com.
We have a link to it.
ShellyCHELY.com. I'm on Facebook as well. I'm on Twitter. Don't move. You're moving.
We'll see
Stop
you.
It.
We'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.